This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb. And our guest today is Walter Day. And this is such an exciting event that's coming to Icon on its opening on Sunday, August 4th, 2013. We've never had anything like this before at Icon. It's the gathering from the universe, around the universe, of all the video gamers. You can tell us more about this. You're here to explain what this is. It's the video game people, and Walter is like a major orchestrator of the video game world. So tell us a little bit about all of that and how you got into it. Whatever, just give us a little rundown of what's going to happen and who you are in all of this.
Well, in 1979, I moved to Fairfield, and I became fast aware that I had to find some way to support myself while I was here. And it just happened that at that moment, around by 1980, 1981, I just loved playing video games. I discovered video games like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Centipede, Tempest, and Frogger. And I loved playing video games so much that I actually opened a video game arcade up in Ottumwa as an excuse to be able to play more video games. So I don't think I was too good of a businessman, but boy, did I love to play Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Frogger and games like that. So in 1981, we opened up an arcade, and I and John Block, another Fairfield person from the past, called that arcade Twin Galaxies. About 90 days into its existence, a big article came out in Time magazine. It was actually the cover story, and it talked about the incredible growth of the video game industry and the world's love for Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. And in that article, it talked about someone getting a high score on the video game called Defender. A local player in my arcade said, look at the score in this magazine. I can beat that and make a new world record. And I didn't believe him, of course, so I challenged him to do it, and he did it. And when he broke the world record and he was playing that game for like 23 straight hours to get a very high inflated score, the media began to call from St. Louis, from Chicago, and from Des Moines, and from Colorado, places very far away. And they were interested in this, and I realized that, boy, this is a bigger deal than I realized. When I tried to find out if his new score was the world record, I called 7 manufacturers and 2 video game magazines, and everybody said the same thing. We don't know what the world record is on that game or any game because no one anywhere keeps track of the world records. No one keeps track of the scores and verifies them. So I got creative and I called them back and said, wait, we're keeping track of the scores. And for some strange reason of karma and fate, they all said, okay, you're the scorekeeper. We'll put your name and number right here by our front desk Rolodex, and if anybody calls about a world record score, we'll refer them to you. And I said, and who are you, by the way? I said, well, my name's Walter Day, and we're the Twin Galaxies National Scoreboard.
Wow.
And it started in 1.5 hour of phone calls, and then I hung up. It was 9 phone calls, and I hung up, and I went back to playing video games, and one of my workers came over and tapped me on the shoulder 1.5 hour later and says, there's someone on the phone from Tennessee, and they want to know the high score on a video game. So I went to the phone, and sure enough, right after I had hung up at Midway Games, which made Pac-Man and other games like that, someone called up and wanted to know the world record on a game called Galaga. And they said, oh, we know where you call now. You call the Twin Galaxies National Scoreboard in Ottumwa, Iowa, is where the arcade was. And they called up, and I said, oh, you have the second highest score in the world, because there was one higher score, someone in our own arcade. And from that moment on, it grew to being a dozen calls a day. Then within months, it was 30 calls a day. Then within a year, it'd be like 100 calls a day, even from South Africa and Ireland and Japan and France and places from all over the place. We became not only the official scorekeepers, but we became the world's most famous arcade, so that people would come to Ottumwa, Iowa, to see Twin Galaxies, the place where competitive gamers consider their crossroads.
Wow.
Then the mayor of Ottumwa declared Ottumwa the video game capital of the world. And then Life magazine came and photographed all the top champions there in a famous photograph on Main Street, posing with their games. And then That's Incredible came and did history's first official video game world championship. And then the governor of Iowa, Terry Branstad at that time, came and declared, he was joined by Atari and by the Amusement Game Manufacturers Association, which was based in Washington, D.C. They all declared Ottumwa the video game capital of the world. So overnight, it became the crossroads, the cultural crossroads of the video game age. And it's now a part of history, such that it's considered the most landmark arcade in gaming history. And They're trying to open up the International Video Game Hall of Fame in Ottumwa, and it's recognized worldwide as being the birthplace of organized video game playing.
Whoa.
So, that's a mouthful. Now, let's fast forward it to today. What is going on now? Well, after me doing this for 32 years, off and on, I'm finally retiring to go pursue music. So I'm having what I consider my grand finale, experience with being in the video game industry by taking all the graphic arts, art that I have done or other people in Twin Galaxies have done, and put it into a big art gallery exhibition at the Icon Gallery here in Fairfield. And it's only fitting it's in Fairfield. As I've said in my news releases, the reason we chose Icon is because it's one of the more progressive art galleries in this region, and it's a most fitting environment for people to get that high level of sophisticated recognition that they deserve. So we are making graphic displays of all the video game trading cards, which we'll talk about more in a minute, and the posters that we've been doing for 32 years so that people see the art of the video game age from the perspective of Twin Galaxies, which had been the cultural leader again and again and again for 32 years. And for me personally, this is a very strange phenomenon because for years and years and years and years, I kept having this deep inner fantasy about doing an art gallery exhibition of my stuff. And I kept thinking, well, I'm not an artist and I don't have any stuff. So why do I keep having this idea, this desire to do this? And after time, it realized that, wait a minute, all this stuff that we did for Twin Galaxies could be considered my stuff, and I should put it on display, and I'll have the fulfillment of this desire to have my own art gallery showing. So,
well, and it's fantastic. I've seen the things that you're going to display. You're going to fill the gallery with incredible gaming visual art.
So I've just said a lot. I don't know what needs to be said about you guys.
This is great. I think that filled people in pretty fast. Twin Galaxy Arcade is no longer in Ottumwa?
There's no Twin Galaxies Arcade in Ottumwa. Twin Galaxies is now owned by other people who are based in New York City, New Jersey, and Colorado. I'm completely out of it, and they're allowing me to take all my past history and put it into a very developed art gallery exhibition. They at Twin Galaxies, which is at twingalaxies.com. Did you see the story that I sent to you? It was a big thing that they did on the Twin Galaxies website about the Walter Day trading card event. And they did a big feature story on it. I got interviewed yesterday by a Chicago newspaper. The day before that, a Maryland newspaper. I've been in interactions with Norwegian press. There's news about this all over the place for three or four fundamental reasons. First of all, video game trading cards created by me are part of this event. They're actually the main focus of the event because it's actually called, the art gallery showing is actually called the Video Game Trading Cards and Posters of Twin Galaxies. So I founded this trading card set with video game stars and video game events and video game history. Up until the moment that this was created, there had never been trading cards for the video game industry. Once there was some with Pac-Man on it or something, but that was not really a trading card set in the sense that Topps baseball cards is a card set for the baseball industry. So I'm now up to past 500 trading cards, which in the trading card industry, they say that's unbelievable because it's so many cards because it's a very developed set now. And they're going to be on display. And the reason they were created by me is because I kept also having that as the desire for many years, to do trading cards for the video game industry. And the reason they were created by me is that they commemorate the history of the global video game culture, honoring the iconic industry pioneers, the video game personalities, the landmark milestones and events, the world champions, the contest winners, and anybody else from the highest exalted level down to even maybe a basic level of someone who history books would never remember. They're all represented in this card set. So that together, each card is like a little window into history.
It's amazing historical documentation in this gaming card trading way. But how does a person get a set of cards or some of the cards?
The marketing part is still being put in place by.
So this is all just getting off, the actual trading of the cards is just getting off the ground.
Yeah, I've actually done about 10 events already, but not on the level of this. It was just mainly people getting awards and having autograph sessions, but they're getting awards at this one. See, not only are these cards going to be on display for the public to see at the event, but the many of the people who are actually portrayed on the cards are coming in person. I know one guy's coming from Mexico City who won the official Pac-Man World Championship in New York City 5 years ago. He's coming all the way from Mexico City to be honored with an award. People are coming from all corners of North America to be honored with these special awards that have their trading cards featured on them. And they're going to be sitting there in the Icon Gallery. This is mainly Saturday we're talking about. Saturday, August 10th is the big grand finale day where we have the red carpet award ceremony and the reception and the celebrities being there for the public to come in and actually get the people that they will sign their trading cards for you and give them to you as a gift. So
the exhibition begins on Sunday, August 4th.
Yeah.
But this big gathering and the autograph signing and mm-hmm. the photo ops and all that is going to be on Saturday, the 3rd of August, is that?
The August 10th.
August 10th, 2013.
Yeah. So that's actually a very good point to bring up right now, Bill, so people understand clearly that they can come all week to see this display. From Sunday, August 4th, up to Sunday, August 11th, I guess is when we take it down. But for the big grand finale, they should come and see all the celebrities, all the famous video game superstars, or legendary like Eugene Jarvis, the man who invented Stargate and Defender, who's coming from Chicago to be there and get an award and sign autographs. Billy Mitchell, the world's most famous video game player, who was in the King of Kong movie and in Chasing Ghosts, he's going to be there in person. And then, of course, the most amazing thing is that Pac-Man himself, or is this herself, because it's a lady who wears the costume, will be coming.
We never thought there about the gender.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's a male since it's called Pac-Man, but anyway.
And there was Ms. Pac-Man later.
That's right. And Pac-Man will be there for most of Saturday, probably from the early afternoon right through the evening, when we're going to have an awards ceremony, because Pac-Man doesn't make too many appearances. This is the official Pac-Man, not just someone in a Pac-Man costume. This is the official one, sanctioned, ordained, condoned, sanctioned by Namco.
I don't think Fairfield's ever seen anything quite like this event.
Well, this is unusual. I think that we're going to bring about 150 people in from outside of Fairfield, if not even more, because now that Pac-Man's going to be there, that means that potentially hundreds of families could come to bring their kids to see Pac-Man. We're now entering really new territory. I don't have any idea. I always knew that there would be at least 100 to 150 people coming because of the cards. But now because Pac-Man's going to be there, it's going to be a lot of people potentially coming to get autographs and get photographed with Pac-Man. Because Pac-Man has already said in their published statement that Pac-Man will be there to be photographed.
That's great. That's great.
It amazes me.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that we're going to do this at ICON.
Well, I remember the very first days of video gaming. I mean, I was involved with Ed Krakauer as one of the people who started Mattel Electronics, and before video they had electronic football, which was, you know, I guess it was 20 LEDs or 30 LEDs arranged in a very sparse matrix, but it was actually fabulous gameplay, and it was really a fun game. And then the Atari 2600 burst on the scene, and I was the head of firmware development for this company in LA that did some of the first liquid crystal displays. They had a patent on liquid crystal chemistry, Western Technologies. And so we reverse engineered the 2600 and produced about 15 cartridges, I guess, over the years, a few years. And then there was this sudden conventional wisdom that because the Atari 2600 cartridge market had been flooded with the most horrible, wretched, pathetic, useless game cartridges, and people originally would just buy any because there weren't that many to choose from, and suddenly there were about 75 of them or 150 of them, and people were buying them and discovering that they were mostly horrible. And so all the pundits started predicting that this was the end of the video game industry. And what they didn't realize was that it was just barely the beginning of the video game industry. And it just went nuts from there. I mean, I used to say to people, look, we still have playing cards and we're still going to play bridge. You know, 100 years from now, we'll play actual physical bridge with cards. We'll play Parcheesi with a board. these things don't go away. They just add to the richness of game playing and in the culture. Mm-hmm. And video games are so, you know, obviously tied to you know, merchandising opportunities and things. I mean, movies and action figures and things are all inextricably tied together. And of course, nowadays they have budgets the size of major motion pictures too, or bigger in many cases. So it's a vast industry, and that this industry, which is in effect populated by people, by people who are playing them. They're not just looking at them and marveling at the graphics, which have been better and better, of course, every 6 months. But they're competing. It's a sport.
Right.
You know, it may not be something you think of as athletics, but it doesn't need to be. There's championship poker too, and these are things that are inevitable. What you're doing, I'm just astonished that no one else has done it.
You know, you are just the right man in the right place at the right time, and it's amazing how you just fell into that some karmic thing.
That's the right word. It's just some sort of destiny.
Let me tell the listening audience, just in case you just tuned in, that we're interviewing. This is Icon Art Radio on KRUU 100.1 FM, and we're interviewing Walter Day, who is the scorekeeper of the universal scorekeeper of the video gaming world, and he's having his last hurrah before he retires of a great exhibition of all of the trading cards and artwork associated with the Twin Galaxy, the Twin Galaxies. Is that what you call is that what you were calling what the,
well,
the name of your thing?
People generally call it Twin Galaxies. It's technically the Twin Galaxies scoreboard, or Twin Galaxies Intergalactic scoreboard, or Twin Galaxies and a side of fries.
But it's no one's, as he was saying earlier, no one has scored this world until he came along, and it would just be, it was such a need for that for this competition. Competing came natural to this because everyone's trying to win the highest score, so then we needed to have some comparison, and you did it.
Yeah, Twin Galaxies has been a kind of a miraculous thing because it just seems like there was so much support. You know, I don't know how much creativity it took to do it or start it, but it took a lot of, you know, the expression life support, or just good things happening that favored it and supported it and nourished it and nurtured it to make it move each step of the way. But somehow it managed to become the definitive legendary brand name in the video game world, such that it's Twin Galaxies is the theme of many, many movies now.
So, it's also a really good name.
For some reason, Twin Galaxies. And it's funny, when I still remember the moment that I first said the words Twin Galaxies. I was in the car with John Block, my partner, for opening it up. This is in October of 1981. We're driving into Ottumwa, and I can't remember all the details of the dialogue we're having. Then I just suddenly blurted, "Yeah, and we'll call it Twin Galaxies." And that came completely out of super consciousness. No premeditated thought or analysis, or no big focus groups on what should we call it.
Somebody was telling you it's going to be called Twin Galaxies.
And I paused at that moment. I thought, wait a minute, we can't call it that. That's someone else's name. Because it was so familiar when it came out that I thought I was remembering someone's brand name someplace.
Yeah.
And then we looked, we couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So it was a completely original name, original expression. And so we went with it. But yes, it's a name that's worked all these years, and people like it. And again and again and again, people have said, you know, the Twin Galaxies name really is a cool name.
Yeah.
Oh, and it wasn't my creativity. I think I channeled it or something like that, because it came out of super fluidity.
This was destined to be.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about letting go of it and moving into your music?
I'm very excited about moving into music, because that's what I consider my stronger skill set, actually composing music.
Wow.
So
tell us a little about your music.
Well, my music, in 1985, I was dating this beautiful woman who one day called me up and says, "Walter, I've secretly been seeing a friend of yours." And that caused so much drama in my heart, so much heartache, that suddenly about 10 days after that, I started hearing music play right down here in the solar plexus and up in the head. It was like I was listening to the radio.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, I was channeling some music. I was like, it was like I was listening to the radio, and I was hearing song after song after song after song come up, and they had what I thought was some beautiful melodies, and they were making me cry all the time, and it would happen to, every time I sat down to, you know, meditate, the songs would come up. And so I started singing them into a tape recorder and also writing them down. By the time that process stopped, it was 138 songs.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to produce some of these songs and actually try to turn these songs, develop them into an actual musical. Mm-hmm. I've been going to all the musicals at Sondheim. I've been to about 10 about out of the last 12 musicals, I think I've been to 10 of them. And I want to see if I can actually face the challenge of do the writing, do the plot line, do the story, do the lyrics, do the, you know, the songs, do the whole story, and actually do a Broadway musical kind of thing. So that's, I'm so excited about that.
Have you talked with Randy about this?
No, but I've talked to Paul a little bit, but not about them producing. But I thought that I would talk to Randy about this because I would like to see this have its opening night in Fairfield.
Yeah.
Done in the Sondheim Center. I don't know how much it costs, but I know I could raise the money on Kickstarter, those kind of Kickstarter crowdfunding campaigns, and fund the production of this thing, because it's called Twin Galaxies. And it's the story of opening an arcade back at the dawn of video games when it was brand new, and the adventures that I and my partner had to go through for the first few years before the arcade actually closed. So it's not all about the later stuff and the scoreboard and traveling the world. It's all about the experience of being in Ottumwa, how my family and I interacted about it, because my father hated Twin Galaxies, wanted me to stop doing that and get involved in this real estate empire.
Of course.
And so there was a lot of interesting dynamics going on between my sisters, my mother, my father, my partner John, and the quest for romance that never found, that never happened. You know, so many different elements that are so human, which all wrap up into this amazing story. It all tucks into this amazing story of what it was like to be right there as one of the pioneers, like you were, Alan, in the video game industry when it first started. So I think it's a, I think because the storyline for the musical follows the plot of the rise of video games and the fall of video games back in that early period.
That's a great theme for a musical.
Yeah, I think it's sounds like that might just fall into place like this other thing fell into place for you. The grouping of cards is fantastic, and it'll be fun to watch in the future how all this goes with the trading of the cards.
Have you spoken with Steve Yaskevich about card collecting and trading?
Oh yeah, Steve and I have interacted numerous times. He's not quite that involved in cards as much as I think mainly the golf stuff now, the golf history. He'll go out and get golf balls signed by legends or buy golf balls that were signed by legends decades ago and put them in complete sets and then sell them. So his card knowledge is very high. He's very wise about so many things. I'm very impressed with Steve Yaskevich. But the trading cards have already been approved by the professional sports authenticators.
Oh.
Have you ever seen baseball cards sealed in those packages? They have a grade on them that says 9. Mm-hmm. But they say 8, near mint, 9. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's 8 mint, 9 ultra mint.
Tell me what that means, because I don't know what it means, and the audience probably doesn't know what it means either.
Well, in the baseball card, in the general card collecting world, if you have a valuable card and you want to preserve its good condition, you can send the card off to a company called Professional Sports Authenticators, which will have an expert grade the quality of the card, how fresh it is, if the corners are bent, if it's properly centered, the end is properly centered, if there's any kind of wear or scrapes or scuffs or bents or marks or soil or dirt or things spilled on it. They will grade the card on a scale of between 1 is the worst and 10, which is the absolute highest, which will be gem mint, as they call it. And they do that mainly for the legendary cards from Topps Baseball and Bowman Baseball Cards and Flair and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I petitioned them to also accept and recognize the Twin Galaxies video game trading card set. And they suddenly saw the card set in the news so many places that they said, okay, we consider you a viable real trading card set because we see that you're out there in the public and people are trading them and collecting them. And so we will actually judge and evaluate and score your cards and put them in these plastic sealed containers that'll have a little code at the top with a code number and also say what grade of mint it is. whether it's I just sent in 15 cards, and all of them were autographed, okay? Four of those 15 came back as actual 10s, which means the highest possible condition. So those would theoretically be more valuable than 9 or an 8 or something. And baseball cards, if for instance you had the first Mickey Mantle card as an 8, I think it's worth like $300,000. But if it was scored as a 10, it might be worth like $1.5 million. So it becomes exponentially more valuable.
It makes me weak because I had all of those when I was a kid. And I think my mother threw them away. Or
yeah,
something.
My girlfriend threw
Pee-wee
mine away.
Pee-wee Reese and Mickey Mantle.
Oh, those are all worth a lot of money.
Bill Scourin.
They're gone now.
So anyway, the people who hear this interview, they should know that they should bring their kids to come and get free trading cards as a gift and have the celebrities autograph them. They can go home with a whole pile of cards for free autographed by all the celebrities who are in attendance, and also meet some famous people who've been in lots of movies, not to mention Pac-Man.
Right.
So it's going to be a fun thing. The whole gallery showing will last from August 4th to August 11th. We'll be taking it down. And on Saturday, August 10th, that's the big moment when you should come and see the awards and meet the celebrities and get autographs.
That's August 10th, 2013.
Yeah.
In case you're hearing a rerun.
Sometimes we rerun these. This is so exciting. So people are coming. You know people are coming from all over. 150 to 200 people are already sort of on their way. And I think we're people from the region. Do you have something out in the Ottumwa paper?
Well, we've notified the media all over the place, and they're fascinated, intrigued by it. And I think we've invited the mayor of Ottumwa is on a card, and he's been invited to get an award. We haven't heard back from him yet. The former mayor of Ottumwa, who declared Ottumwa the video game capital of the world back in 1982, he's been invited because he's on a card and getting an award. And so in this area, there's probably about 15 people from the greater Fairfield Ottumwa area who are on trading cards, will be here in attendance to get their awards and sign autographs. And so it's a combination of people local and also lots of famous people from New York and Florida and California and Texas. A lot of Texans are coming. People from Seattle are flying in. And like I said, Mexico City, Canada. So it's an international
slate. Really looking forward to this. So thanks for coming on and talking on Icon Art Radio, Walter Day.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.